Welcome back in Campbell and Knezovic. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle in for Elijah Campbell today. Talking Titans. Also, your national best deal of the week is Beach and Bend Amusement Park in Splash Lagoon Water Park. Buy one day pass for $35.99 and get one free now at thegamenashville.com/deals. I could go for a water park day today, Junie.
You know where that is, right?
No.
It's actually in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Ah, Junie and I have quite the ties to Kentucky. Mr. Western Kentucky alum, me University of Kentucky alum, Junie big Louisville fan, me, oh, there you go. Yeah, Nick Kieser also, WKU grad.
Just did this year.
Yes. Yeah,
congratulations.
A lot of Kentucky on the show.
It was one
today.
Semester late, though, guys.
That's fine.
The whole big tornado wrecked it for me. But anyway.
Just natural causes. That wasn't your fault. Hey, so many people take a victory lap. I'm all for it. Listen, you do what you got to do.
I took a victory lap, and then COVID made my graduation ceremony take another victory lap. So
Junie's it like, happens. Yeah, that's okay. That's okay, Junie. We still like you here. We just don't like that you're a Louisville fan, but that's all right. We forgive and forget, except when Kentucky beats them every single time.
Kenny Payne's got something to say about that.
Hey, but Western did beat y'all in baseball this year, just Michelle, just so you know.
And Kentucky beat Tennessee and then got their butts whooped. Yes, the other day, yesterday.
Yeah, I don't see anybody beating Tennessee. In
I don't see
this year.
I don't either. We talked to Joe a little bit about Tennessee, and there was an interesting stat on the SEC Network Twitter that they are the first team ever in SEC history to win the SEC title in baseball and basketball in the same year. We all know how that turned out for the basketball team in the NCAA tournament. They lost in the second round to Michigan. But this Tennessee baseball team is, I mean, they have arguably had no competition all year. I mean, Vanderbilt usually holds that crown in the SEC. I mean, in college baseball as a whole. And you can tell that Tim Corbin of Vanderbilt, their head coach, I just started covering him this year, but he does not like losing. Robbie Stanley always says that there is one guy who, I don't know if I know another coach who hates losing as much as Tim Corbin does.
Yeah, no, he definitely got spicy with the media last week, and you could tell his frustration and how that Vanderbilt program did this year is really getting to him. So I kind of feel bad because, you know, that's kind of Vanderbilt's claim to fame is baseball, mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that they really had over Tennessee, and now it seems like Tennessee is kind of taking that crown from him.
Well, especially being in-state rivals, Vanderbilt always had baseball, and now that Tennessee is, I mean, they are just surpassed pretty much everybody in the SEC this year. And we talked to Joe on, are you picking them to win or are you picking the field? And I feel like this is one of the hardest decisions to make when you talk about any sport. I mean, when it comes to the NCAA tournament, you're always picking the field because there's so many upsets. And baseball, there could be the same thing, but Tennessee, I made a prediction. We do a Call Your Shot Friday and Robbie and Rexford where we make bold predictions. And I said that they win every single game up until the national championship game.
Wow. So even in Omaha when they play, mm-hmm. you know, a couple series, you think it's going to be all sweeps?
It's a Call Your Shot Friday, so it's a little spicy.
It is spicy. But hey, I mean, with the way that their bullpen has been pitching throughout the season, and I mean, look at how they did in the SEC tournament. I mean, they just jumped up on people. Vanderbilt went up 7-0, ended up winning 10-1. You know, it just seems like they're always like getting up on people early, and that bullpen just closes out the rest of the game, and it just seems like nobody has a shot to take it from them. I mean, even in the Kentucky game where it was tied 2-2 going into the eighth, they just sprung out and had, you know, what was it, 10 runs in the last two innings just to beat Kentucky. I mean, they can do it on both sides, whether it's on with the pitching or it's with the hitting. So props to Tennessee this year. I mean, it is their title to lose.
I completely agree. And like you said, that Kentucky game, I feel like they play with everyone and then it's like, okay, let's just flip the switch. Ready, guys? okay, let's go. Let's win this game. And then they just go beast mode and look like a varsity playing a JV team out there sometimes with some of the games that they have won this year. There was a funny stat. I think it was when they played Mississippi State, and it said Tennessee baseball scored more points than Tennessee football did against Mississippi State this year. It was pretty funny. I was like, wow, when you think of it like that, that's pretty crazy. But yep, so Tennessee won the SEC basketball, baseball this year. First time ever in the SEC. That's pretty big for the state of Tennessee and just that Tony Vitello and that Tennessee baseball program. Switching back to the Titans, though, Junie, we had a conversation in our buy and sell segment, last segment, and I posed you a question. How well does Ryan Tannehill have to perform this year in order to keep his starting role in 2023? You said that he has to win one playoff game. I would disagree with that. I think that, okay, they can win again. So let's look at the Bengals game, for example.
Okay.
Do you, and I'm going to pose a couple questions to you. Do you think that Ryan Tannehill would have taken as much heat as he did if they won that game, but he still had three interceptions?
No. I really don't. I think in the playoffs, we've seen a lot of people, you know, have bad playoff games and still pull out wins. I think it's all about winning. I think Titans fans would have, you know, forgiven him for that. I mean, everybody has bad games, but at the end of the day, if he would have led them and they would have scored that field goal instead of him throwing a pick, let's say he throws a pick earlier and to get that three interception mark, to just to kind of, you know, pose the question that you just asked, and he, on that last drive, instead of throwing the pick, he leads them down for a field goal, they win 19-16 rather than the latter, then I think Titans fans forget about it and rejoice that they are hosting their first AFC championship.
So I think that, yes, that would have happened. But I think because they lost that game, I think even if they go into a playoff game in 2022, that if they still win and he throws three interceptions, I still think he's going to get just as much heat. Maybe not just as much, but a lot of heat. Because people are going to say, okay, that they won, but they still don't have somebody that they feel like they can rely on at the quarterback position.
And that's also true, but I mean, when you look at the Titans' most recent playoff success when they made the run to the AFC Championship in 2019, both of their wins against the New England Patriots and against the Baltimore Ravens, which were both on the road, let me tell you, he didn't even throw for 100 yards in those games, and he was not even close to being the reason. And no one said anything about that. And they actually praised Tannehill for, you know, how he played and how he helped this team turn a corner, because it wasn't Derrick Henry, you know, having an all-time season that turned the season around. It was him coming in for Marcus Mariota.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came out in 2020 and he threw for 33 touchdowns and only 7 interceptions and had probably his best career year to go off that, even though they lost in the first round and only put up 3 points in the game against the Ravens in 2020's playoffs, people were still on the Tannehill hype. And going into this 2021 season, people were like, oh, Tannehill's underrated. Tannehill should be talked about more. Yeah. You know, like the national media doesn't talk about Tannehill. And it wasn't until this season when we actually got a real glimpse of what Ryan Tannehill is and how, you know, he is not able to, you know, elevate this team when it's, you know, when all the baggage falls on his shoulders. Great quarterbacks can do that. Ryan Tannehill is not a great quarterback, and 2021 exposed him for that.
And I think we've seen glimpses of it. I think the game that comes to mind for me is that San Francisco game and the chemistry we saw between him and A.J. Brown, and the one specific pass where he just slings it down the field, probably 60 yards or something, and A.J. just catches it right here.
Mm-hmm.
A.J. was always his safety net and allowed Ryan Tannehill to look great in those moments. But this year, I think we're going to see, well, I know, can pretty much predict that we're going to see just not as much of that, because you don't have A.J. Brown. You don't have a receiver who can do that. But how well, what would you say stat benchmark do you think Ryan Tannehill would have to achieve in order, like, do stats even matter, you think, to the Titans? Or is it just you need to get at least one win in the playoffs?
I think he has to, one, perform well in the playoffs to show, like, hey, like, I'm not going to be the guy to mess it up. As long as he's not the guy that lost you the game, then I think if they were to get a win in the playoffs, that he could keep his job in 2023. But if we're looking at just purely stats, that could be like, okay, you know, maybe Ryan Tannehill, you know, can stick around and still be the guy. We mentioned this on our podcast. I think he has to throw less than 10 interceptions.
Yep.
He cannot throw more than 10 picks.
Yep.
And I think he has to throw more than 25 touchdowns this year. And to show that he is above the median quarterback in this league. Because, you know, throughout the last couple years, Titans fans have been a little bit spoiled in the fact that their team has seen a lot more success since recent memories. I mean, you're talking about the, you know, 2012 through, you know, 2017 season. Well, they kind of broke out and won a playoff game in 2017. But through that span, they hadn't seen any success at all. And now in the last 5 years that they've seen a bunch of winning, a bunch of playoff appearances, you know, their expectations are now above what Ryan Tannehill can provide. And if he cannot elevate his game to the point to help this roster, which is built to win, then I think the organization, the fans, and everybody else are going to be asking for a transition at the QB position.
Well, and also one of the things to mention is that they're playing in one of the worst divisions. The Colts are going to be your main competitor, but, and you said it earlier, you said if they win the division, they will be the worst division winner.
In the AFC, though.
In the AFC. That's what I meant. Think of who they're playing this year. They're playing the AFC West. So you're playing Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert. Who Justin Herbert is about to emerge as a superstar.
I think he already has, personally.
I think not seeing him in the playoffs hindered that, just because if you don't follow the Chargers and actually looked at his stats, that for his only being in the league not long, that they were pretty incredible. And if he keeps up with that, he's going to be a huge threat and in the top five quarterback conversation. Those are the quarterbacks that the Titans have to go up against this year. And then we take a look closer into the AFC South. He's going to have to go up against Matt Ryan. On the other side, we're going to talk a little bit more as to what this addition of Matt Ryan will do for the Colts and how is that going to affect the Tennessee Titans. We'll discuss all of that on the other side. You're listening to 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app.
Man, it makes me almost want to throw up because he reminds me of Peyton so much. He's the epitome of a leader, right? In meetings, he's vocal. You know, he's trying to get that connection with the receivers, trying to get extra as much as possible. I don't know how it was last year or the year before, but just this year, I mean, that I can see, the guy's he's a vocal leader. He's out there, he's grinding with them, you know. And I really feel like with his, you know, years and experience in this league, it'll kind of help these young guys. You know, I remember just having a quarterback with some experience. That was everything for me, you know. And I kind of, you know, add that in like with a, you know, Andrew Luck when he first got in. I mean, he was still trying to learn, you know. So it's like, we always bumping our heads on the wall, you know what I'm saying? So he comes in, he's vocal, he demands excellence, he admits his mistake. As a receiver, that's all you love. Like, you know, you're not perfect.
That was Reggie Wayne, wide receiver coach of the Indianapolis Colts, also played for the Colts for numerous years in the NFL. Welcome back in, Campbell and Knezovic. I'm Michelle Knezovic with Junie Riddle in for Elijah Campbell today. Junie, he compared Matt Ryan to Peyton Manning.
Big comments. Especially from Reggie Wayne, I mean, who was – him and Marvin Harrison were Peyton Manning's two best receivers
his era
in the Colts. And, you know, he's borderline Hall of Famer. So those are huge praise from him. And you know, we've seen Matt Ryan do well when he's in a really good situation. And I think he's probably in his best situation since that Super Bowl run that they had in 2016 when he was down with the Falcons. So I don't know. The expectations are high. I'm very, very intrigued to see what the Colts are this year.
Well, Nick had said, hey, I have this really good soundbite from Reggie Wayne on Matt Ryan. And this was the first time you and I had heard that.
Yeah.
And to hear somebody of his caliber and who has been in a locker room, who has been on the field with a quarterback of Peyton Manning's stature, those are huge comments. And you don't just throw that around and compare just anyone to Peyton Manning. He's not just somebody on trying to get people rattled, but he is a reputable guy who's been on the field, who is now a coach, who's been in the locker room with both guys. And to compare those two, I mean, that is huge.
Well, I think the way that they kind of carry themselves, I mean, we really saw Peyton Manning's personality after football, and we kind of see him differently than we see him when he was playing. But when he was playing, he was Mr. Joe Cool, always saying the right things, like very mellow demeanor. And I feel like Matt Ryan kind of carries himself in the same way as a leadership aspect. Now, obviously, Matt Ryan is not Peyton Manning when it comes to on the field playing. Matt Ryan's a really good quarterback and one of the best in this era, obviously. But he's no Peyton Manning on the field. But the way he carries himself, his professional, you know, the way he conducts himself in the locker room, I could definitely see it being very similar to Peyton Manning.
Well, and I think that's something important to point out. He was comparing Matt Ryan as a leader to Peyton.
Yes.
Not his football skills, because Peyton Manning he's one in his own.
Oh, yeah.
He's in his own category, just as Aaron Rodgers is in his own category and Tom Brady, right? They're at that level, whereas Matt Ryan isn't there, but he is just under like a...
I would say Matt Ryan at his best is a border. I mean, he's going to be a borderline Hall of Famer with his stats in general. I mean, this guy has had an excellent career, and that's why I think him going to the Colts is going to be so lethal, is because the best year in Atlanta, like the year they had the best running game to go along with him and Julio in the passing game, was the year they went to the Super Bowl. Now you're putting him in a run-based offense.
With Jonathan Taylor.
Yep, Jonathan Taylor, Quentin Nelson and company on that really, really good offensive line. And I'm just sitting here telling you, if Matt Ryan comes out and can play to his capabilities and protect the football, this Colts team should be favored in this division.
Which they are in a lot of national polls. And I agree with you that Matt Ryan could be right on the cusp of a Hall of Famer. But I think it's all going to come down to is – Week one, like, what does he look like? Because we haven't seen what he has looked like with this many weapons around him. And like you said, such a run-based offense with Jonathan Taylor emerging, that I think it's going to come down to with, like you said, him being safe with the football, which I think he is, him making good decisions. But they have a great offensive line led by Quentin Nelson, but they also haven't made that many moves since that draft with Quentin Nelson. But I also do think that their offensive line is better than Tennessee's offensive line. And if you look at the stats between Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill last year, I mean, they're almost identical.
Yeah, no, they really are. Matt Ryan threw for 20 touchdowns and 12 interceptions last year, and Tannehill threw for 21 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. The only difference is Matt Ryan's number one receiver was Kyle Pitts, who was a rookie. After that, I'm looking over here, his second receiver was Russell Gage, because Calvin Ridley, like, missed the season and, you know, with the whole gambling, this is before the gambling stuff, but, you know, that was his number two guy. And on top of that, they had a bottom five run game. They just didn't have much. Their offensive line wasn't good. I mean, that whole team down there in Atlanta is really in shambles. And Matt Ryan, being 36, is not the playmaker naturally, like being able to, you know, move around a little bit more in the pocket. Like, he's older and stationary. Putting him in a stable condition with a really good running game and a really good offensive line, and the Colts still have cap space to go out and get people. So they're still like a Will Fuller or an Emmanuel Sanders out there to go add to this offense, or Julio Jones.
Whoa, Jinx, you owe me a large iced coffee after the show, Junie.
I don't think you need any more coffee.
You're like, Michelle's shaking over here. I thought the same thing. I mean, Julio Jones' money doesn't come back to the Titans until, I think, June something?
June 1st.
Okay, so that's Tuesday. So that's Tuesday. So we could very much be seeing something in the near future happen. I mean, Matt Ryan and Julio Jones together? I mean, that was Julio Jones' Hall of Fame prime time, right? These guys know each other like the back of their hand. I could very well see the Colts signing him to be another guy in the receiver room who Matt Ryan and him don't even really need that much chemistry to build together because they have so much. It's like riding a bike getting back together. And he's got Michael Pittman Jr., who's a young guy who's really emerging in this league. I mean, what I take away from this is Matt Ryan and Ryan Tannehill had almost comparable stats last year. But the difference is Ryan Tannehill had A.J. Brown. He had a decent offensive line, right, with Roger Saffold. He had Derrick Henry. He had Julio Jones a bit. He had weapons, whereas Matt Ryan Tannehill didn't have those weapons. So even just any step up, you would assume or you can predict, I think Matt Ryan's going to have a really solid year. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, they're pretty much comparable quarterbacks. Well, yes, they were last season as far as stat-wise, but we've also seen Matt Ryan lead a team to a Super Bowl. And yep. There's a big difference.
And no, absolutely. And I think if we're kind of talking Colts versus Titans here, and we look at how they match up, well, what is the Titans' strength? Is their pass rush? Well, the Colts have a really good offensive line. Now, maybe, you know, the Titans can overcome that a little bit, but let's flip it on the other side. The Colts don't have a bad front seven either with DeForest Buckner and Darius Leonard and company over there. They're not too shabby. And with a lot of new parts coming in for Tennessee's offensive line, this could cause problems for this matchup. I'm worried for the Titans when it comes to playing the Colts because I think the Colts should be favored. And I think barring injuries, because, again, you never know who's going to get hurt mm-hmm. in the National Football League, but as of right now, the Colts are the favorite. They are the best team in this division. And you go from a young guy in Carson Wentz, who is not solidified in this league, to Matt Ryan, who is, like you said, a former MVP, has taken a team to the Super Bowl, and has shown when he gets the right parts, he is an elite-level quarterback.
And like you mentioned, when he has a good run game, that is when Matt Ryan shined. Junie, you wrote an article on ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Colts this offseason, comparing them to the Tennessee Titans and taking a deeper look into the AFC South and where these teams rank. Are the Titans one or are the Colts one? We are going to discuss that on the other side and really dive deeper into who wins in each category, which team is better on defense, which is better on offense, and take a look at specific position groups. You're listening to Campbell and Knezvik on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in The Game Nashville app. Welcome back in Campbell and Knezvik. I'm Michelle Knezvik, joined with Junie Riddle and for Elijah Campbell today. We're off and running on this beautiful Monday, Memorial Day. We got to sleep in a little bit. Show didn't start till 9. We are on the air till 12:30, taking you right up into some baseball this afternoon. Hope everybody's enjoying a day off if they have the holiday off today. Junie, but we're still in here. We're talking sports. And coming off last segment, we're discussing the AFC South and specifically the Colts and Tennessee in the South. Who will take the division this year and who made the most significant offseason moves to enhance their team and get them to the next level? I mean, we specifically talked about Matt Ryan, which is the most notable for the Colts. You wrote an article on what this addition to the Colts offense means on 102.5 The Game. And we talked about in the last segment, Matt Ryan will have the most complete roster he's been a part of since his Super Bowl run in 2016 and a good offensive line. He's got DeForest Buckner and Darius Leonard, the dynamic duo, on defense.
I also forgot a few people because we forget they signed Stephon Gilmore. They traded for Yannick Ngakoue. And then last season, a guy that I was really high on, Kwity Paye. Another edge rusher that they got. So
with still some cap space left.
Yes, their defense is pretty good. I would personally put the Titans over the Colts on defense, but only slightly, Michelle. Only slightly.
And I would put the Colts offensive line ahead of the Titans offensive line because there's obvious holes that we still don't know who's going to play at guard, who's going to play at right tackle. Dylan Radins is maybe a question, just still unsure for Tennessee at that point. But like you said, these teams are pretty much comparable. And we compared in the last segment Ryan Tannehill's stats versus Matt Ryan's stats last year, which were pretty much even when it came to, you know, touchdown passes, interceptions. And for the most part, it was back and forth who won each category. I pose this question to you, Junie. Who do you think out of those two quarterbacks, Matt Ryan or Ryan Tannehill, will have a bigger jump this year, right? They're pretty much at the same level right now. Who do you think statistically wise and just performing better, who do you think is going to have a bigger jump in the 2022 season?
I would like to say Matt Ryan, but we're also got to look at his weapons and who he has to throw the ball to. And really outside of Michael Pittman Jr., it's not a lot. I know they drafted that receiver out of Cincinnati, Pierce, but I don't really know if he's going to elevate that receiving room that much. A lot of guys right before the season gets started get cut, and there's some big notable names that teams do to, you know, save on the cap, and they're kind of looking at you know, what they have in training camp and who's going to fit where and, you know, what maybe they need more. And we're going to see other guys get released. And like I mentioned earlier, Emmanuel Sanders, Julio Jones, guys like that, veterans who can make a difference on a team. Like Emmanuel Sanders made a huge difference in Buffalo contributing last season. So I still see the Colts making some more moves, but the safe bet for me is going with the quarterback that I believe is going to get more protection and more time to throw the ball. And with that being said, I think is going to be Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan's stats will jump up significantly. I could see him having a 30-touchdown season this year. I really do.
I agree. I think it solely comes down to the offensive line. I think if Tennessee makes a move, but the offensive line free agency market out there, like Joe Rexroad said earlier on the show, who's really out there right now? So I think they're going to have to work with the guys that they do have, which we're not really sure what Dylan Radins is at right tackle. And with Ryan Tannehill being the second most sacked quarterback last season and then losing Roger Saffold heading up to Buffalo, who I think Buffalo right now has the preseason crown on their heads of the AFC, that they're going to take a step back, and Ryan Tannehill's probably going to get sacked a lot this year.
I think what the Titans are really hoping for is that Nicholas Petit-Frere, I think that they really want him to step into that right tackle position and have Dylan Radins move into the inside to create more of a competition. And competition breeds, you know, players moving along at a higher accelerated rate. So if Nicholas Petit-Frere can come in and take that right tackle position, and obviously we've seen video of him and Taylor Lewan really sitting down, working on their mechanics, working on their drop back steps and pass protection, I think that that would be the best-case scenario to have that depth on the interior and really give the Titans some competition to fill that hole that Roger Saffold left when they unfortunately cut him.
So now you mentioned Roger Saffold. He heads up to Buffalo. And Buffalo right now is the preseason favorite for a lot of people to win the Super Bowl, to win the AFC. Where do we think that Tennessee fits, not just in their division, but in the AFC as a whole, Junie? I'll let you kick this one off.
I mean, there's a lot of what-ifs in this question. I mean, me personally, as of right now, I think that the entire AFC West is better than the Titans. And I think the entire AFC West in general is better than majority of the AFC just because of how stacked they are. I mean, every single team in that division got better. I mean, even like I would say the Raiders going into the season are going to be the worst team in that division.
And they just got Devontae Adams.
But they still got Devontae Adams and they got Chandler Jones, who absolutely ate Taylor Lewan's lunch last year in the season opener. So I think that every single team in that division, especially the Chargers, I think the Chargers are the most improved team out of every team in the AFC.
Let alone a Justin Herbert just continuing to emerge and become a superstar in front of our eyes.
Exactly. And on top of that, the last 2 years they've drafted offensive line. They went and got Zion Johnson, who you and I both talked about, who could potentially get drafted to the Titans to fill Roger Saffold's role. Mm-hmm. He is going to be great. He's going to step in day one and be a starter, an excellent run blocker to go along with Rashawn Slater, who they drafted the year before. They beefed up the defensive line, which was the Chargers' big weakness last year, with Sebastian Joseph Day and Austin Brown. JC Jackson got signed, the number one corner in this free agency went there. And let's not even mention that they traded for Khalil Mack to go on the other side of Joey Bosa. This Chargers team is going to be really scary. Their defense just quickly caught up to their offense that they had this year. And with Justin Herbert still on that rookie contract, it is go time for them. They know they have a window of not having to pay him, and they are going all in to surround him and that defense with talent in order for them to make a run this year.
Well, Junie, you took the words out of my mouth when you said Justin Herbert's still on that rookie contract, so they can get all these superstars and put him around. Whereas Justin Herbert, I would say he's a top five quarterback right now, especially if he comes and just brings it this year. Also, fun fact about him, went to Oregon. This kid had over a 4.0 at Oregon. He had over a very, very smart guy. You know, and you think of how that also plays a role into being a quarterback. Being able to think quick and being able to think on your toes and make smart decisions plays a huge role in being a quarterback in the NFL. And with them adding all those, I think that they will be the favorite in the AFC West. I think they'll be the favorite. I think then it'll be the Chiefs. Then it'll be the Raiders and then the Broncos. AFC West.
You think the Broncos will be last with Russell Wilson?
I just don't know. Like, to be honest, obviously he's one of those quarterbacks. A lot of people thought that maybe he could come here when they thought that Ryan Tannehill, they were going to try and trade him. But, I mean, that division is stacked. I think, first off, of course, the AFC South, Tennessee's got them to play against this year. That's going to be a murderer's row when they play all of those teams. But that division is up for grabs. I honestly could see the Broncos being first. I could see them all switching.
I think it's going to be the battle of attrition on to see who's going to win that division. Who's the most healthiest? Who can be the most consistent? And especially with, you know, Russell Wilson coming into a new team, how quickly can he adjust to a new head coach in a new environment?
And he was hurt last year, so we just didn't see him on the field a lot, especially towards the end of the season.
Exactly. And we're also missing another team that I think is better than the Titans, and that's the team that knocked them out of the playoffs. The, you know, AFC champions, the Cincinnati Bengals.
We went through, I need to say this really quick, when Junie and I recorded our podcast, Hail Marys and Hot Takes, quick little plug here, we went through the entire AFC, well, not the entire AFC, and we were talking about where Tennessee fit in it, and we completely forgot to mention the Bengals before we got to Tennessee. We went through pretty much every single team, and then after we recorded, we looked at each other and said, we just forgot Cool Joe, Burrow, and the Bengals.
No, absolutely. And, I mean, that's the thing is, like, I mean, the Bengals came out of nowhere last year, so, yep. I mean, outside of them, well, I mean, we should have known because they just played in the freaking Super Bowl.
Really? But, what are we talking about?
Like, we literally got done recording, and I was just sitting there thinking about it. I was like, we forgot somebody.
Well, and you looked at me. You're like, who did we – do you know who we just forgot? And I'm like, wait, what? And you're like, the Bengals. And I was like, oh, my gosh.
I was like, I can't believe – we'll have to open up next episode with that. Recounting, give the Bengals their credit.
Yeah.
They don't usually get it.
All the credit they deserve, and they were able to beef up their offensive line in the offseason because, like we've talked about before and stressed, Joe Burrow is on his rookie contract. T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. Those are three superstars that aren't going to be able to pay all of them
Mm-mm.
in the near future, but it allows them to pay other guys to beef up their offensive line. They need that offensive line. I mean, every franchise needs one because they don't want their quarterback getting hurt. But there were some hits in the Tennessee game here in Nissan Stadium of Joe Burrow, and I thought, oh, he's not getting up.
Especially him coming off an ACL tear injury in 2020. That should have been their number one priority, and I criticized them for drafting Ja'Marr Chase. But, you know, props
Burrow
to them.
Burrow knows.
Props to them.
Burrow knows. Burrow's the best recruiter for them out there. Junie and I are going to discuss the AFC and where Tennessee fits in it more on the other side. And also dive back into the tight ends and where we could see Malik Willis playing a role in this offense for the Titans this year. You're listening to Campbell and Knezvik on ESPN Radio 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Campbell and Knezvik. I'm Michelle Knezvik. Junie Riddle in for Elijah Campbell. Nick Teasers. Been in the tunes, giving us some great jams on this beautiful Monday morning.
Love the Motley Crue, Nick.
Here in Nashville, I don't know any of the names of the songs because if you listen to the morning show, Joe Rexroad never forgets to tell me how uncultured in my music I am. But
Michelle's extent of music goes to One Direction and Justin Bieber. So
that is a lie. That is a lie. But listen, I love me some pop jams. If you want to give me some recommendations, text us on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You want to talk sports, text us on there. You want to tell us anything, text us on there. Hope everybody's enjoying a day off, or if you're working. You could also tune in to Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 4:05 on ESPN 94.9 as the Sounds begin a six-game series on the road against the Durham Bulls, AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Spirited Hive. You can watch us streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. Every day, our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Junie, before the break, we were talking about the AFC as a whole and where Tennessee fits in it, coming off a year being the number one seed and being able to have home field advantage as they head into the playoffs, and unfortunately came up just a tad too short. And when I think about teams who come off just shy a little bit, you think of the offseason that they might have. Stephen Holder from The Athletic joined us on Robbie and Rex Road this past week and made a really interesting point. He covers the Colts and the NFL at large, was also here in Nashville with Joe covering Tennessee versus Cincinnati in the divisional round, and said that he was surprised by the Titans being so close to making it to that Super Bowl and just coming up just a shy too short about the offseason they have and not being more aggressive and in that go-for-it mode. And we see other teams in the AFC, like the Bills, who have made big moves in the offseason to beef up their roster and know that they're in a full go-for-it mode this year. I mean, I think about, honestly, the most incredible football game I've ever seen, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Bills. I was streaming it on my TV, and you know how sometimes when you stream it, it's like a second or two late if you don't have cable, and the stream went down. So I had to rewatch it. I was like, oh my gosh, what happened? And then I had to turn Twitter off because, of course, everybody's tweeting and I'm getting the Schefter notifications, and then I find out who wins. I didn't even get to see it, so I had to go back and watch it. But, I mean, probably one of the most incredible games in history of the NFL.
I'll tell you this, it was one of the most entertaining games I've ever watched, and I've been watching football for a long time. And like you mentioned, the Buffalo Bills were really aggressive this offseason, and they added two people, in particular Roger Saffold, who we've mentioned multiple times today, on their offensive line. They drafted James Cook, a running back, and I think what they're trying to do is beef up that running game, which is something that offense hasn't really had. And then you look on their defense, they had the number one overall defense last year, and I would say the biggest flaw of that defense was consistently getting to the quarterback. Well, what do they go and do? They give Von Miller a six-year deal worth $120 million, which just adds not only a two-time Super Bowl champion with two different teams, but a Super Bowl MVP edge rusher. So I don't know why you wouldn't pick Buffalo as the favorite, because if they stay healthy, I mean, they are a juggernaut of a team and should be the number one pick to win the Super Bowl this year if Vegas has any sort of intelligence.
Well, Von Miller, too. I mean, when I saw that trade and that they signed Von Miller, first off, I thought, well, that's, I mean, just having Von Miller, like you said, you already said all of his accolades, adding him to this Buffalo team that's already a pretty complete team, yeah, adding that extra piece just puts them on a whole nother level. But I, to be honest, was pretty surprised as to how long of a deal they gave him. I thought 6 years, because he's already getting up there in age.
Yeah.
And I thought that, wow, I mean, they just gave him the big deal. They gave him some security as far as how long they want him to be on the team and in the league, because he's bounced around a little bit.
Now, there might be some underlying things in the contract, like voidable years or, you know,
yeah,
the way that they can maneuver the cap nowadays is crazier than usual. But, I mean, yeah, 6 years is something, but like you said, it's the go-for-it aspect. It's the going all in when you know that you have a window to win. And when you have a roster like Buffalo with a really, really good receiving core, a top young quarterback, the number one defense in the league, you're going to do what you can to make the moves. And I think that's the difference between the Tennessee Titans and the Buffalo Bills because, I mean, we watched the Titans and Bills play here in Nissan Stadium last year. I mean, it was a very, very even game because they were both at full strength. And the Titans edged out a win against the Bills. And look what happened. Now the Titans have lost a couple pieces and aren't really looking like they're going to be the same team next year. And the Buffalo Bills look by far like they are the lead candidate to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl this year. So it just goes to show you, like, when you have a window, you have got to find a way to make it work. And I think that Tennessee Titans fans are going to be disappointed this year because the front office did not make other moves to get the best out of this team.
And like you said, Bills, I think, are the clear favorite. As hard as is it for me to say, because I don't like the Buffalo Bills, and Bills Mafia is a little too crazy for me, I think they're the clear favorite and that they're going to play Monday Night Football again. Tennessee's heading up to Buffalo. They're going to have another Monday Night Football game against them earlier in the season. I think that the Bills will be one of those teams that will be able to come out week one and look very put together. Whereas I think this Tennessee team, I think they're going to need a week or two to tweak some things and kind of get in the swing of things because of so many new additions on the offensive side of the ball. The defense pretty much stayed the same and, you know, added pieces. But, I mean, Ryan Tannehill has never thrown in a game to Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, Austin Hooper. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina he has the most chemistry with in that wide receiver group. So I think that if you look at it, it's going to take them a little bit to get it together. But, I mean, I think the Bills are the clear favorite. And I think if you look at Tennessee, that they could just kind of fit in like an even middle. I don't think that they're really at the top. I don't think that they're at the bottom. I think that they're kind of just sitting in the middle and kind of a question mark. We're going to have to see what the offense looks like because I don't think it's going to be awful. But I think also, too, it'll play a role into if they add another veteran wide receiver to the roster in the offseason, could they add a Will Fuller? Could they add an OBJ?
But again, like I kind of mentioned to you earlier today, is like I just don't think that that's going to make the difference. I really think that the offensive line is going to be the Achilles heel of this team. And if Ryan Tannehill is under as much pressure as he was last year, and I think you and I can both agree that the Titans' offensive line is worse this upcoming season than it was last year with the loss of Saffold, that, you know, I just don't see them being that. I mean, last year going into the season, I had the Titans as a 13-4 to 12-5 team, and I already told you that this season I think they're going to be between an 8-10 win team. So they went from being one of the top three teams in the AFC to where now I think they're a fringe playoff team. Because, I mean, if we're doing the AFC in tiers, your big hitters are going to be your Bills, your Chargers, your Chiefs. And I think that the Titans and Colts and teams like the Ravens are going to be in that second tier to where they're going to be trying to battle to make the playoffs this year.
Are the Tennessee Titans a top 14 team in the NFL to make the playoffs? Junie and I aren't too sure right now and still have a big question mark on to what this offense will look like for this Tennessee team. Coming up on the other side, though, we are going to take a look at maybe another professional sports team coming to the city of Nashville. And what better way to talk about it than right in the heat of baseball season, Junie. Coming up after the break, we'll be joined with Chris Bacon of MTSU and also works with the Nashville Stars. You're listening to Campbell and Knezovic on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in The Game Nashville app.